All right, I see a couple people seeing me and hearing me. That's good. We had to close down the previous live stream for some unknown reason, so we'll wait here for a moment to see if other people can check in. All right. I see my wife. She just showed up, even though she's sitting 30 feet away from me, so that's good. So hopefully the others of you can get on pretty quickly to this one right here. So we apologize for that. I do see people still checking in, so thanks. I appreciate that. This will remain up on our Facebook page for the foreseeable future, too, so if you can't get on live at the moment, then you can definitely watch it a little bit later. Well, as you can see, there are a couple of changes going on from last week. You definitely know that live streaming is new to us. It's new to me. We are definitely learning on the fly, as we have seen very clearly this morning. If you're just joining us, if you were not here last week, then you notice our location is different. We've moved everything to the side of the auditorium. I thought I'd be a little bit closer to the Wi-Fi. Who knows now? We'll check that out. There's actual color behind me and not just a brown wall, so I think that's a plus. We also have better lighting all around me. I know you cannot see our extremely fancy light setup right here, but I'll have Chelsea take a picture of me in just a moment, and I'll post that on Facebook later for your enjoyment. So we're going to slow down a little bit, too, from last week. We're not going to rush as much during our children's moment, especially. We're going to give a few more moments for our families to talk and meet together. Parents, now is a good time to get all of those coloring sheets, by the way. We're going to share communion with each other just a little bit slower. So if you have bread and juice, now is a good time to get those. Any bread will do. If you have tortillas, if you have crackers, if you have sourdough bread that you left over from last night, you can grab that too. Grab some grape juice if you have it. A bit of wine is fine. I was reminded by one of you last week that Jesus turned water into wine, so water is just fine. I promise you about that. Last Sunday, I talked about how each week I'm going to light a candle to mark the passage of time that we are physically away from each other. A candle is, in many faith traditions, a visual reminder that God's presence is with us. And this is a way to remind us that even now, even still, God and Jesus is very near. I have no idea how many of these candles I'll have to light, but we light them and trust that God will call us back together again. We begin, as we typically do on Sunday mornings, with a psalm. Psalm 121 was given to me last week by one of you. Last Sunday, I asked if you would send me psalms that you are currently listening to, that you are currently reading, psalms that you continually go back to during this crazy, uncertain, wild time. A few of you did that, and I am so thankful. We're going to read one of those this morning. The opportunity is still there for you if you have a psalm that you are reading or that is tending to your soul. Please make a comment, and we'll try to use that in an upcoming service. Afterwards, Brent is going to come and lead a few songs. He's picked out those songs. You are welcome to sing along with them if you know them. You are welcome to sing along even if you don't know them. That is just fine. You're also welcome to listen to them and receive them as a blessing. Psalm 121 is where we will begin today. So you are welcome to follow along in your Bibles if you would like. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you, my friends. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's sing together.
And the things we love to do is come together to praise God, who is now and forever in control of all things. So let's sing together, All Things Praise Thee. All things praise Thee, Lord Most High, heaven and earth and the sea and the sky. All were for Thy glory made, that Thy greatness thus displayed should all worship bring to Thee. All things praise Thee, Lord, may we. All things praise Thee, night to night, springs in silent hymns of light. All things praise Thee, day by day, chants Thy power in burning ray. Time and space are praising Thee. All things praise Thee, Lord, may we. All things praise Thee, heaven's high shrine rings with melody divine. Lowly bending at Thy feet, seraph and archangel meet. This their highest bliss to be, ever praising, Lord, may we. Now let's sing together, Be Still My Soul. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when a change and a tears are past. All safe and blessed, we shall meet at last.
The waves and wind still know. Thank you, Brent, for choosing those songs today. Well, for a few moments, we're going to spend some time in prayer. You can do that collectively with the people that you're with. You can do that silently with the people you're with. If you are just by yourself today, you can speak aloud. You can speak just within the recesses of your own heart. You can read some scripture. You can talk with each other, talk with your children. So let's spend some time in prayer with whatever's on your heart now. Let's do that for a minute or so. Amen. Thank you, everybody. All right, I want to say a specific hello to our youngest friends. These are specifically our Roots age children, our elementary aged kids. So hi to you all. Hi, Nora. Hi, Ruby. Hi, Maggie. Hi, Luke, Oscar, and Lily. Hi, Cora, who is sitting just over to my left. Hi, Nico and Carter. Hi, Hadley and Judson. Layla, hey there. Hope that you're doing okay. Others that I've missed, we're glad that you're here as well. You still have those coloring sheets that I gave you last week, the ones that you hopefully got in the mail. Hopefully your mom and dad did not recycle them or throw them out, because we need week two. So if you will grab week two of those prayer coloring sheets, that would be great. Parents and guardians, you can hand those to them now if you have them. Have someone in your family read the prayer out loud to each other, please. And then for a minute or two, talk about the words and the phrases that you've just read aloud. What stands out to you? What brings you comfort in this time that we find ourselves in? I'm going to do the same thing with my family. Church, hopefully you received in your email, in your inbox, copies of these prayers as well. You can read them if you'd like and talk about them wherever you're at. If you don't have a copy and would like some of these, we can make sure that you get them. Just contact the office this week and we'll get that done. After a couple minutes, I'll come back up and I will read the prayer over us. Let's do that now.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly. And you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So, amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
All right, my young friends, you can color these sheets during my sermon in just a few moments. You can draw on them. You can write out what you are feeling these days. But first, here's the prayer for the entire congregation, the ones that you just spent time with. Into your spacious heart and loving hands, dear God, I place my fears, my what-ifs, my spinning world and mind. Comfort me with the truth that no fear is too big for the Great One who is always with me. I am never alone. Calming God, bring courage. Tender spirit, breathe peace. Gentle Jesus, be close. And together we say, Amen. All right. Since the beginning of January, our collective gatherings on Sunday mornings have centered around the book of John in a series that we have called God and the Neighborhood, Watermarks, Table Mates, and Cemetery Plots in the Gospel of John. Everything that we have read and heard and preached on for 3 months has something either to do with water, the woman at the well, for instance, or tables and food, feeding the 5,000, or it's been about graveyards and funeral plans, like when Jesus bends down in the dirt and writes in it. We've tried to listen in as Jesus himself experienced the context of his every single day. We've paid attention to the places he went, the cities and villages, weddings, homes, lakes, the temple. We've watched as he's interacted with people, some of them named, like Nicodemus, and some of them not, like the man who was born blind. What John has been doing is inviting us into Jesus' story in a very intimate and striking way. Better yet, and more importantly, what Jesus does through John is invite us into his life. We're going to press forward in this John series, even though we are physically distant from one another, because there's still a gospel word for us in it. It's a word of the presence and the kingdom of God. Before I read our text for the day, many of you know that I describe our church as a congregation of preachers. We all contribute to the sounds of our pulpit, and I love that about this church. I say that to say that Michael Tucker was lined up to preach this text. But in our disruption that has changed just about everything or speaking or speakers that has been disrupted as well. So here I am, and I hope to come close to what Michael was going to say. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 11. I'm going to read a good portion of that text, starting in verse 1, chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Let's scoot down to verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said. "He is looking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been in there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." We've mentioned before in this series that there are 7 miracles or signs in John's gospel leading up to the Jerusalem events. This is the seventh of those signs, and John pulls out all the stops for this one. First of all, the length itself dwarfs all the others. My reading of the text took so long, your mind may have drifted off toward that egg casserole you have cooking in your oven, and that's okay, I promise you. Second, it's quite a cast of characters who've walked on stage for this final sign before Passion Week begins, just 7 days from now, if you can believe that. Check your playbill. You've got scores of minor characters, necessary but unnamed. All the friends and family and neighbors who've come for the funeral. You've got the supporting roles, all those disciples, they are there. And if we had read down even further to, say, verse 45, we would have seen the antagonists there too, led by none other than Caiaphas himself, who by now has reached his tipping point. You've got the stars of the show as well. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and yes, Jesus. Third, the story is incredibly detailed. Hours and days are marked by this dramatic development unfolding before our very eyes, layers being pulled back, the curtains are parting. Suspense runs high, and so does the emotion. There is confusion, there is frustration, there is anger, there is rebuke, there is sympathy, there is wonder. The emotion leads to action. The sisters frantically writing a letter to Jesus. The disciples reluctantly submitting to go back into the death trap. Martha running out to see Jesus when he finally arrives. Mary choosing to remain at home, unable to face him. The crowd lamenting. Mary crying. Jesus weeping. Jesus raising, the people believing, and again, in the part we did not read, plots developing to rid themselves of Jesus. This is one of those stories that you can hold up to the light to notice one thing, a long-held truth perhaps, a shining truth, magnificent and radiant as always. But if you twist it slightly to the left or to the right or up and down, you notice something else, a color change, an angle, a reflection you did not observe before now. For our narrative today, let's briefly consider two things that the light bends through our story. The first is this. If there is any doubt about the full humanity of Jesus, any reservation about the word became flesh motif we say we adhere to, this story has something to say about that, even if all of our questions are not answered. And questions abound, don't they? Why didn't Jesus leave as soon as he received the notes that his friend was dying? Why did he not drop whatever he was doing and sprint to Bethany? Why did he intentionally not go there for 2 whole days? Martha and Mary separately ask the exact same accusatory thing. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Where were you? Did Lazarus wonder the same? As his prone body on that hospital bed was dying, did he ask, where are you? I thought you cared for me. Furthermore, those assembled for the memorial service ask the question that is on many of our lips these days. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Even Jesus asks his own question, where is he buried? And before they even get to the headstone, he just loses it. Mary is weeping. The friends and the family, the whole community, they are weeping. Jesus, moved to the core of his very being, weeps too. sobs on the very dust of the earth. He both created and is now anchored to. Amid the mounting pile of questions, we see the incarnate God, the Word who became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, weeping at the brokenness and the weakness and the cruelness the hours and the days can bring. We see that Jesus, in full humanity, is not immune or exempt to the conditions we all find ourselves in. We are shown a God in whom is intimately familiar with the anguish and the sorrows that make us curl up on the floor and stain the carpet with our tears. He shares the pains that pinprick our hearts and gash our souls. One day we believe, we hope, that God in His infinite mercy and grace will wipe away all tears. For now, though, we have an incarnate God who weeps with us. And if that's the word that you need these days, that God, Creator, Sustainer, is right there with us in our griefs, then cling to that. Hold on to that and receive it. But if you need more this morning, then we are going to have to read on. We're going to have to head over to the cemetery, to the place where anything and everything dead resides. People, souls, dreams, promises. We know that place, don't we? So do the host of characters, named and unnamed, those caravanning that direction too, with a bitter taste of loss in their mouths. Among the characters is, of course, Jesus. His face still puffy and red from crying by the time that he and we reach the graveyard. Arriving at that squeaky gate, we've been here many times before and we don't want to go any further. Not when our present reality is more death than anything else, especially these days. And the stench of death fills our nostrils way longer than the 4 days that Lazarus has been cooped up in that tomb. We do not recognize it as a place occupied by the Spirit and the presence of God. Jesus walks right on in, though, and something familiar begins to happen. A stone is rolled away. Jesus looks upward and cries out in a loud voice. A dead man sits up and walks out, burial clothes left behind. We've heard these phrases somewhere before. It's at this point that a line we read earlier surfaces for air within us. The part when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Those are in the present tense, we realize. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Life and resurrection are not just futuristic at some distant point yet unknown. The present reality is a resurrection now. The work of restoration is here. Jesus is the one who offers life on both sides of the grave. "Do you believe this?" he asks Martha. "Yes," she says. "You are the Messiah. You are the one who saves." As confident as we ourselves may be about the resurrection in the end days when Christ Himself comes, us being raised up, we have seen enough evidence to cast the shroud of uncertainty about any kind of resurrection now, about any kind of life now. Things would run much smoother if Jesus would just do the simpler thing and keep all bad stuff from happening in the first place. But for some reason, Jesus takes the more difficult route. choosing to walk directly into cemeteries where death already abounds. And he begins to untangle that which seems impossible to untangle. Armed with his words and his stretched out hands, he then works to bring beauty from ashes, joy from mourning, and praise from despair. Do you believe this? He asks us. Can we believe in the possibility of life now? Can we hope in the resurrection today? We do, or we want to, or we want to want to. Either way, the work of God in Jesus is not fully dependent on human belief. We are not the source of any kind of resurrection. Even though we think he's days late or nowhere to be found, God keeps on bringing dead things to life, which is why he says, "Unbind him." And the breath of God swirls in Lazarus's lungs again, and he is alive and he is free. May it be so for us as well. And together we say, or we type, Amen. All this leads us to the table, of course, the place where we can see up close how life and resurrection can come from brokenness and pain. Shortly after Lazarus leaves his tomb, Jesus will enter his, sacrificing his life and his breath so that we ourselves may have ours. He will show us in person what it means to live and die and live again. We share together every single week the torn bread and the torn cup to remember that. His body and his blood given, and we in turn give that body and blood to each other. In this way, we believe and we hope that Christ is indeed among us. If you have your bread and your cup ready, grab it, please. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, if you're by yourself or with others, I invite you for a few moments to pray and to give thanks and then eat and drink. I will come back up here in just a few moments. We've been given the bread and the cup, and we in turn also give. And one way we do that, of course, is with our money, with our offering, with our tithes. Our money, this money that you give, continues the work of this congregation, and just because we are apart from each other does not mean that the work of this congregation lessens in any way. And so thank you for so many of you who continue to hold to your financial commitments as much as you are able. So now is a great time to remind you that you can give online, swcentral.org/giving. You've seen that in our Facebook posts. I've talked about it here. It's been in our newsletters. You can also continue to give via check or cash through the mail, and we'll take care of it that way as well. So thank you for giving. Well, it's definitely not the same for me in this building without you. There are a lot of empty chairs, which reminds me just how much I miss seeing you, how much I miss shaking your hands, giving hugs to one another. I miss watching you care for each other in person out in the lobby and in this room when we are dismissed, when we're sent out, even before we begin our services. Those are beautiful and moving moments. I miss those things. I hope that you are all doing okay. I hope that you're staying at home as much as possible, getting out only when needed. I hope that you're keeping distant from other people. I hope that you're washing your hands. I hope that you're doing all these things. I also hope that you're taking care of yourself, that you're fighting against loneliness and especially against isolation as much as possible. And I hope that you're helping others do that exact same. Last Sunday, I encouraged you to care for one another, even though being absent from each other in three specific ways. Those three were, what's the first person, who is the first person that comes to your mind in this auditorium? Who's that first person? And then the second one was the last one, maybe that you wouldn't normally think of. Who's the last person that enters your mind? And then what about a neighbor of yours? Someone next door, across the street, who are three people that you have thought about? So how did you do? Yes, you on the other side of this screen, did you do it? Did you contact three different people this week specifically for these three ways? Did you reach out to a few folks and check up on them? If you did, which I know many of you did, great. Thank you for doing that. If you didn't, that's okay. I think that we're going to have plenty of opportunities in the weeks and maybe even months to come to continue practicing this sort of care for each other. So please go ahead and do that. If it's the same people, great. If it's three new people, then go ahead and do that as well, please. Another way we're trying to keep up with one another is through a private YouTube channel that Jessica Vaughn and Luis Suarez have set up for us. Maybe you saw that in the newsletter. Maybe you've seen Jessica's posts on that. We'll continue to advertise that in the days and the week to come. So you are welcome to check that out as well. As we close today, this being our fifth Sunday in Lent, Easter only 2 weeks away, only 1 week away from Passion Week, we will continue our Lenten song, the exact same one that we've done every week, A Common Love. I was thinking this week that you can think of the word common in a couple different ways. Common, as probably many of us do in this song, as in broad and far-ranging and communal, common that way. You can also think of common as in ordinary or usual or unspectacular. Jesus embodies that very kind of commonness for us in those ways. Both of those kinds of common fit this song, and both, I think, are important. Brent, in a moment, is going to come and sing, and you're welcome, of course, to sing along or just receive it. And then we will go forth. But first, a benediction to you all. Again, the words of Jesus who says this to you. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Let's sing together.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's Word.
Grace and peace to you all, friends. Go forth and live your baptized life. Peace be with you.